Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Anything retreat. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. I like your version better.
What did I say?
How you do anything is how you do anything.
Oh, I thought I said everything, but
it's very thin. Well, you might have. That's what I heard, but I might have been thinking it.
So the assignment from yesterday is what I've been, Sherry, I'm not sure what the assignment is from yesterday, because let me just bring
bring on the first caller, and
they'll
tell us what the assignment was. Uh-huh.
Here we go. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, hi. It's Anna from England.
Well, hello, Anna.
Hello.
Do you know what the assignment was for yesterday?
As a matter of fact, I do. as far as I am aware, anyway, it's what I tell myself about me, because I've just got it on my piece of paper, and then I think it was this is an opportunity to hear what the voices are saying.
Yeah. So yeah. Making that distinction between, or being clear that I might actually say something about myself from a centered place, and then what I might also be hearing is coming from conditioned voices in the head or even self-hate.
Yeah. So that little bit on the end was helpful because I did use it to pay attention to what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate would say. I loved doing it. And just to say, I thank you so much for doing this. I absolutely love it. It's absolutely wonderful. I just absolutely adore doing it. I love the PDFs, and I've got the book anyway, and I did do the book a while ago, and I loved it then. And there's not a single exercise or assignment where I don't see something. And just a really fun one. Just to kind of, sorry?
Me too. Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprised that, this is not exactly new material for us. And yet, each time, seeing something new, a subtlety or a nuance or just a different angle.
Yeah, every single time. And to what is seemingly innocent activity, draw a picture of yourself at play. And do you know what I mean? Like, you could have anybody do that, really.
Uh-huh.
It's very straightforward. But the things to be seen, do go through many layers. Say in our house, anyway, we're now playing lots more games because I realized that we'd forgotten to play.
We've got
the games out. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, and that's such an important point, right? We can forget something so very obvious, and we it just slides off into wherever things slide off into, and we suddenly realize, wait a minute, we're not playing. I'm not playing.
Yeah.
I need to play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you think you are, but then when you look at the facts, you're not, or you are. What's the thing?
Right. Well, which could tie into the assignment of what am I being told?
Yes.
On some level, I'm being told that I'm playing, but I'm not. And so...
Oh, yes. I loved doing so what I tell myself and what I had done yesterday as well. So it was what I've been told about me. But you said to somebody, ask people that you love what your qualities are. And I did that. And that was immense. It was like, oh my God, these qualities are a superstar. wow.
Yeah. So, and it's true.
Well,
right?
Well, this is how these people are seeing that. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's not a lie. So, So we have to question, now in all these ways I really respect them and value them and think that they're wonderful people. It's hard to just discount them when they're talking about me.
That's absolutely. When I needed it. I felt I needed it anyway. It was lovely to have, and it was, you know, it was emotional, but it was really lovely. And so then when I looked at what I tell myself about me, it was so pathetic, and it was such old stuff, and I could see through it straight away, and it was like, my God, this goes back 30, 40 years.
And Anna, the thing that we get to see about that is you, over the years, have grown immensely. Those voices have not changed at all. They are still saying the same thing they said decades ago.
That's really
good to see.
It's very good to see. There we are. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to go and let someone else go on. So thank you.
Go have your tea.
Yes, it's new. Although because your summer time is a bit earlier than ours, so we're an hour.
It's 4 o'clock.
Is it four o'clock
where you are?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's too early for tea. So we'll catch you in your afternoon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I could think of you in your time zone. So thank you, Anna.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Bye bye.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anna. You know, Sherry, what dropped in that conversation is really how, you know, it was one of those earth-shattering awarenesses, is that there is no absolute truth because it depends upon how you look at it or what you see through, you know? That if you are, if you're listening to what you've been told about yourself by someone, it's one thing. What you tell yourself about yourself is another thing. That the source that we consult is we say it all the time that what we think is what we are, or however that goes, right? The Buddha's version or the other version.
What we think about creates the world that we live in. It's really quite straightforward, and so it's we know how important that it is to ask authenticity for an opinion. Not ego.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank goodness for the mentor.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, goody. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Hello, Kim.
Hi. Oh, wow. So, I'm just so excited. Of course, been doing the Q workshop since the the retreat began. Love it, loving it. And so I have a question about double reverse, projection. Yeah, with this in particular, with these two exercises, because mine were very similar, what people said about me, and it spanned, you know, it's like you're a good parent, you're a bad parent, you're a nice person, you're not a nice person. You know, it was back and forth on the duality. And even, like, accessing exactly what I say to myself, it was really mixed up with all of that.
Uh-huh. Yes. So it's all conditional.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It, which is kind of what Ashwini was just pointing at. If we're consulting egocentric karmic conditioning, forget even the self-hate. We'll put self-hate in parentheses on that one. Egocentric karmic conditioning, it's going to be conditional. So depending on whether you just yelled at the kids or hugged the kids, you're either a good parent or you're a bad parent. When we step back, when we step back from that, so, for instance, if you stepped back and asked the mentor about that, the mentor would probably say something like, if you're looking to conditioning, then it's going to be conditional.
Yes.
Because that's what's true. So if you ask the mentor, am I a good parent or am I not a good parent, you would probably, again, be encouraged to look at the process rather than getting caught up in the content of I am or I'm not. Because it depends on the time of day. So if we go to a larger context, do you love your children?
Right, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, not everybody loves their children.
Oh my God.
So you love your children. You do your best to take care of them.
Yeah.
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 You
absolutely.
Prioritize
yeah.
them as much as you possibly can. You worry yeah. about them. You hope
well,
for the
yeah.
best for them.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it even in a conditioned reality, I think you probably qualify as a good parent.
Well, so thank you. And so then the question follows then, and all of these assignments have gotten me to this place, like, who is answering this question?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And,
yep.
like, if I do this at the same time of the day, is the same sub-personality going to be there? Do I need to, like, mix it up? Is that too much noodling?
And will you then see something if that's the case?
Yes.
Right?
Because
which
the process.
You already did just thinking about doing it.
Right. The process. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really easy to get sucked into the question because they're very interesting, possibly to egocentric karmic conditioning self. Hey, questions, right? Because it gives the opportunity for egocentric karmic conditioning self hate to kind of open a little doorway. And then,
well, yes, Kim, and everything does.
Everything
so
does. Yes.
Yeah. So what we don't realize is that going around in our day, that the same kind of thing is happening. Okay. So
yeah.
you are interacting with somebody at another parent at the school, and that the egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate
yes.
is interacting, and.
Right.
Not only, and watching that other person reporting back to you. The other day we were talking about judgment as synonym for ego.
Yeah.
Judging
yeah, yeah,
them,
yeah.
judging you, telling you this, telling you who you are for having that go on. What's happening in this retreat, I hope, is that people are becoming more aware of that process going on all the time because it's so obvious. If people will do these exercises, ego is going to be revealed in a way that it usually isn't. Because
yes.
yeah, because it can't just let you go to a centered place and do all these exercises. That would be really dangerous for it. And yet, if it comes in to try to do the exercises the way it tries to do everything else in our lives, we're going to see it. So it
well,
really puts
yes.
ego in a hard place, which is what we like.
And I would like to say one more thing about a prior exercise that was, what are you telling yourself, or no, it was, how are you not leading to where you want to be in 5 years, which mm-hmm. was, I want to be here, I want to be awake. And that question actually put up a red flag because that was sort of like asking conditioning a little bit.
Well, what you're getting to see, again, is the process, right? You're
right.
seeing that. You're seeing that question
yeah.
comes up, and you see how conditioning wants to roar in to answer that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's being revealed.
It's being revealed. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say if we were going to characterize this entire retreat, it's a
yeah.
disidentification exercise.
Yes. Okay. That resonates hugely. And
uh-huh.
boy, it's still got me. I mean, well, it's only been a week
oh, yeah.
or two. I got some time.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we got a ways to go. It's okay.
I've seen a lot already in however many 10 days. It's been incredible. So I thank
yeah.
you. And
no, thank you.
Ashwini and both. For having
right.
something to do this again. yeah.
Oh, yes. We are gluttons for pleasure.
yes.
right. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Go happy.
You too. Go happy.
Thanks, Kim. And that really is it. right, Jerry, the pervasiveness of how we see is revealed in that every time we step back, there's still that conditioned orientation that if we see conditioning, somehow there's judgment about it.
Yes, yes. And talk about a great way to hide in plain sight, right?
Yes.
We're meant to feel bad every time we see conditioning. There you are. That's conditioning. Yeah.
That's right.
That's the point. That's the point
that's
of
right.
what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And that feeling bad is also conditioning. Because what I think we're being pointed at is to keep getting present. How are we here just with how it is without experiencing any of the judgment, self-hate, or anything about just being here.
Yes, and when it comes up to try to make me feel bad, because, that was judgmental. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, that
thank
was.
You for,
yes, exactly.
Thank you for stepping out into my sights. I see how you do that. And as I see how it does that, I'm going to recognize it when I'm at the grocery store or I'm driving or I'm doing whatever it is that I'm doing, because I'm getting familiar with that process.
Mm-hmm. And the transformation is just being able to see it without it seeing through it, which we've been talking about lately. So see the conditioning and be present to conditioning, not see it through conditioned eyes as that's something wrong.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It really, separation is, of course, not something, That's a huge part of our problem, is that the ego has the ability to make us feel like we're separate from life. But this kind of separation that we're talking about now, so there's conditioning. I see how that operates. Here's presence. I can see that, right? Those are not the same. I don't feel the same when judgment is here and when judgment is not here. When the heart feels just wide open in love, or close down in those I can see that those are very different experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's hear from my next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini.
Yes.
This is Brian from Detroit.
Hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How are you today? Good, I hope.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
On my way to the stables to clean out stables and feed horses, and that's what I do on Fridays. So.
Oh, lovely.
I'm so excited about this. For the last 24 hours, I've been doing the Q thing too, but the whole idea behind judgment being this thing that conditioning uses constantly. I just fell into that, and it's such a key to the whole thing, because whenever I'm in judgment, I know I'm in conditioning. And when I'm not in judgment, it seems like I'm not thinking so much.
Yes, yes.
Because there's nothing for it to play with.
That's right, that's right. So if we do a little visual, which is kind of tricky when we're all on the phone together, but... So there's a great big circle, okay? We call that the whole mind. And down in one corner is another circle, and it's got a line down through it. So this little circle is divided in half.
Right.
And that's the world of duality. That's the world that ego is living in, that little tiny world of right, wrong, good, bad, you, me, us, them, I like it, I don't like it, I want to, I don't want to. And that's where, until we break free, I mean, we used to live in the big circle when we were little tiny people, and then slowly we got edged over to this little tiny circle down there in the, if you can have a corner of a circle, and we decided that that was the real world, the whole world, the world that we needed to live in and succeed in.
Exactly.
And so you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just constantly talking down there about what you did and what you shouldn't have done, and that was okay. That was good. No, that was good. But yeah.
And to add on to that a little bit, you know, I've been practicing just being yes to possibility. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'm in judgment, there are no possibilities from that place.
That's right.
There's only
what a good
judgment.
Point.
And,
that's right.
And, yeah, and so I'm having so much fun with this, and I'm just like,
yes,
this little current. I'm so excited about seeing this.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. At which Brian is just critical to the whole thing, because as we were talking about earlier, what we're meant to do is feel bad about the whole thing, because we're in
yes.
that little tiny world, and all roads lead to self-hate. Right, you try to get out of that little tiny circle, and everything you do is wrong. So to be excited about seeing the process. Now, first of all, you're no longer in the little tiny circle, right? Because
exactly.
you can't see that little tiny circle from inside the circle. So
right.
it is very exciting.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so much fun, because now when I see possibilities, I know that there's a probability connected to it. And so,
yes.
you know, the probability comes true when I take action on it. I there's a possibility I would be in the queue and I would be able to have a conversation today. But that wasn't going to happen unless I worked on the probability, which is make the call and get in the queue.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
it's fascinating. Now, you know what? I want to tell you and Ashwini that I appreciate so much how much passion that you maintain for this. And that means so much to me to be in with people who have passion for seeing this.
Well, and yes, Brian, yes, because it mirrors that in you, right?
Exactly, yes.
Because we can all be passionate until we're blue in the face, but if nobody else has any passion, then, you know, we better be entertaining to ourselves. But what happens is we feel it in one another, and it begins to resonate and just bounce back and forth, and there's the excitement, right?
Yes, and I really noticed that on the fear retreat, because when I left the fear retreat, I was amazed, because, you know, I wasn't trying to acquire anything on the retreat. And when I left, conditioning had the hardest time breaking into that. I mean, it did, but it was
eventually.
Almost, yes, Sangha was meaning everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
On that retreat, Sangha all of a sudden became huge, and I was like, yes, you know, this means so much to me to be connected. So
Thank you. Well, thank you, Brian. If we stay with that image a little bit longer, what that connection is our it's a pathway out of that little tiny egocentric circle.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And what you're describing is exactly how it works. Once we get a feel for that, we're not eager to go back. Now, can we be beaten down after a while? Yes, because we got kalpas of ego's ability to do that to a person, to take us
mm-hmm.
out of the heart and put us back in that little tiny judgmental place. But
we know
the way out. We know the way out. And it's getting very familiar to find that line out and follow it.
Yeah, the conditioning it hasn't changed since I discovered it. It's the same thing. Whereas, like the genuine self is like expanding and growing, and I love it, and I'm really excited about this, and I just love you guys because you've got so much passion and you bring heart to this, and you're sharing yourselves on a level that, you know, I find so endearing, just so endearing.
Well, thank you, and I tell you what, I know there are going to be some happy horses to get to spend part of their day with you. There are going to be some lit up horses.
Oh, they love me.
Yes, I bet they do. They're Sangha.
Be well.
All right. Take care, Brian. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Brian.
We don't have to tell Brian to go happy, do we?
I don't think we do. But we get to invite someone else onto the call.
All right, here we go.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. Fun to be on and fun to just hear all the enthusiasm and passion, just like
and passion.
That was discussed. Yeah. So this was fun. I actually did it backwards. So when we did the day before yesterday's, when you know what I've been told about me, I went to what the voices said, and then what
uh-huh.
I tell about me was. So I just switched them. I just switched them because I somehow had missed that. This is the first opportunity, or this is the opportunity to really see what the voices say. And so what I saw was that all the dualities. And what I loved about that is that when I had been at the monastery, last time I was at the monastery, I think, which was last year, in the spring, and I had seen the there'd been an insight about all suffering happens in duality. I remember asking, that's what I saw, and I remember asking it in group, does all suffering happen in duality? Because that's what it's looking like today to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's wonderful because that way if I can see the suffering, I can ask the question, okay, what's the duality? What's going on? And and it just made it, that has come back to me a lot over over the last period of time.
Well, it's so, it's always helpful, I think, when that level of insight comes with really simple language.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
It's not a big, long explanation, the kind of thing I like to get into of how that works and why that works and whatever, you know, finally you just start nodding off. This is straightforward. If I'm suffering, I'm it's because I'm in a duality. And one of the ways that we talk about suffering is, so pain, as you well know, pain is inevitable. It's just what happens to us as critters in a form, but suffering is what happens when we want something to be other than it is, which is what you're pointing at, right? This is happening and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and it holds up a version of what that would look like. Like, so maybe, what I tell myself, I might say, well, I'm really neat and tidy. And then there's another version that conditioning will hold up. Well, no, you're really messy a lot of times. You know,
walk past something that you left out because of whatever and say, that would be you being neat and tidy, huh?
Yeah.
it holds up
a different version, and mm-hmm. I like what you said about pain too, because I was looking at that yesterday. How, for me, the in pain is the gift of, you know, like that's the it's so different than suffering. There's something about pain that is just so different to me than suffering, and is so. There's a gift in the pain. There's not much of a gift in the suffering unless you can just, you know, I mean, I guess the gift in the suffering would be you get to see it and, you know, and in our practice you get to see it. So I guess in that sense there would be a gift, but in the pain...
Devote yourself. Right. There's a purity in the pain, isn't there?
Yeah.
A connection. And in the suffering, yes. I mean, I think that's what eventually brings us, you know, the Buddha talked about it as having suffered enough. That eventually we just suffer so much, we can't live like that any longer, and we start looking for a way out. But the and of course suffering, ego uses the pain, right? Uses the pain against us to keep us from experiencing life directly, and that's its MO all the time.
Wow. Well, that's really yes, it does. It does. But to know in the pain is there's a lot, there's compassion and love and beauty, and it isn't what I thought. It is very pure.
Yes. So I don't know if we have time for this, but I was looking at something this morning, Karen, that I think really fits with this, and so I'll say it very quickly. And that is that as human beings, I think the greatest gift we have is our capacity to love. Yes. And what happens to us, because that's like the pain, right? That's pure. That is just pure, direct experience of life living. And so we have this capacity to love. And what happens to us through conditioning, through ego, is that every time we feel injured in some way in love, we feel lost, we feel hurt, we feel rejection, we feel whatever story it is, judgmental story is there, we close down to love. And so eventually we get to a point where the heart is so closed that we don't know our great capacity to love. And when I was looking at this, that old, very familiar expression, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And I saw that is probably the wisest thing anybody ever said.
Yeah.
Because what it points us to is every time we love, let that reinforce our capacity to love. Let us have every hurt, every injury, everything. Let us focus on how grateful we are that we have the ability to love. Because that, I think, is the whole deal, don't you?
I agree wholeheartedly, and it's almost, it's so our practice. There is nothing wrong. And to me, to be in a place of nothing wrong, the heart has to be open and willing to love. And,
no matter what.
There's no matter what. It's unconditional. And that's, to bring that to the world, to whatever we do, that's what's required. Like, you have to just wear your heart right out there.
That's what's required. And it is the gift, isn't it?
Yeah, it surely is. And it's, I don't even think the heart gets hurt. Ego thinks the heart gets hurt, but I don't think it does. I think it's just love. And that's just what it does, and it's out there, and it's, ego that closes down or all that. But, so thank you for that. That was really fun to see. So anyway, deep gassho to you both, and thank you.
Gassho to you, Karen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you.
Treasure. Yeah, with you and everybody. Let's treasure ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. And the assignment is What I Really Know About Me. Record and listen. And
what
I think that
really
conversation
know about me.
Yeah, that conversation really goes a long way to helping us frame that question.
All right, and it's the weekend, so we have two more after this, and then we, good Lord willing, get to get together on Monday and see what happened.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
You.